This is random. So Steve, have you played Fortnite Festival yet?
I have played an hour of Fortnite in my entire life. I know that Festival's like the rhythm game thing, though, right?
Yeah, it's, okay, I'll pitch it to you. It's Rock Band Unplugged.
Oh.
But in Fortnite. All right. In Fortnite.
Here we go. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's, get your, it's kind of amplitude on.
Yeah, it's a little lighter than those games, I'd say, but if you have that itch, it's pretty much what you're going in for. So, anyway.
Dude, I'm loving this. We have this glorious era. We got Fortnite releasing a rhythm game. We've got PDP, the hardware manufacturer, teasing that they're going to like be releasing a new guitar. I'm like, is this the third wave of Guitar Hero hype coming back yet again? It died. They brought it back. It re-died, and now they're bringing it back again. Let's go.
You know what I want? You know what I want? What? Is a Guitar Hero 3 Legends of Rock remastered. Or a 1 through 3 like HD pack, you know? And like
that, yeah.
With the old school red guitar and everything, the Fender.
If they released like a, yeah, like a, even just like a Guitar Hero, I guess they already did a Guitar Hero Greatest Hits, but like,
yeah,
they did like Guitar Hero Across the Ages, which is like most of the set list that they can relicense from the first three games, and a new guitar bundled in, man, they would make infinite money. Infinite money glitch.
Well, I guess we're podcasting. Welcome to IndieQuest, celebration of the Indian obscure. My name is Josh, and that handsome sounding co-host there was Steve. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I don't know if I sound handsome right now. I think I sound like I'm on the brink. I'm very low and bassy.
Yeah, so, nice and gravel. Everyone. You got that graveliness going
on. I do. You know? Yeah, hey, how y'all doing out there in Podcastville? No, I'm on the tail end. I'm recovered now. I'm healthy again, but I recently had a pretty intense sickness that has left my throat and vocal cords a little raw. So I'm here. I'm happy. We're recording, but I'm going to sound a little beat up. People are going to get extra bassy Steve today.
And we're joined by the third wonderful co-host, just as handsome. Maybe, I don't want to judge. You guys are both very attractive men. That was very awkward to say it like that. Yeah, okay. It's Seth, also known as Captain Drachma. How are you doing?
I feel much more just handsome than I did coming in here, Josh.
I feel like I'm hitting on you guys, you know?
That's okay. It's working. You know, it doesn't matter.
I'm here
Where do you pick up people? Podcasts, mostly. You know what I mean? I don't go to bars. I just co-host with people. But
yeah, that's true.
I feel a little jealous of you guys' Guitar Hero talk because I didn't play a lot of it, and what I did play was only on controller. Am I a weird person?
Oh, that is weird. Controller? Like the regular Guitar Hero games on controller,
on PS2 controller.
Yeah, that's what you can do now. That's a Fortnite Fest. That's literally all it is. It's a controller. Really? Yeah, you'd probably be a master, man.
Don't make him feel too good about this, though. It's important that he knows that he messed up, okay?
So a little background of why I had to use the controller. It was because mostly we had one controller or one guitar. And, of course, I have an older brother about the age of Steve. And, of course, he claimed the guitar every time we played.
Yeah.
So I ended up just learning how to play Guitar Hero on a controller to the point where I just got used to it. And then I couldn't play on guitar anymore. I just played on controller all the time. So I am literally a capital G gamer for that, I think.
That's okay. That's true. Before people were beating Bloodborne with a Guitar Hero guitar, were beating Guitar Hero with a Bloodborne controller.
That's right. Exactly.
That's the way to do it. And people are like, come on, guys, that's not indie. It's like, all right, come on now. What about Clone Hero? Clone Hero is an independent project, and it's the biggest Guitar Hero thing on the market right now.
Yeah.
If you count the entire internet as a market. I mean, so there you go.
If you want to be like Guitar Hero 1 is probably, no, it's not an indie game. They got published by MTV, right? So that doesn't work. But
that's about the least indie game you can get. Yeah. Yeah. But that doesn't mean it doesn't rule.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Well, speaking of games that rule, I wanted to shout out the Game Awards winners just real quick here. We got Sea of Stars as best independent game, and Cocoon best debut indie. That's awesome. I think both those games are well deserved. And I think we're going to be talking about them a lot on the next episode. Seth, you want to tell them what the next episode of this show is going to be?
Sure. So our next episode, and I think maybe our most hyped episode of the year, will be our GOTY, the Indie GOTY Awards, Game of the Year Awards, presented by us and our opinions. So we'll have several different categories. Indiest indie game was one of the ones that we came up with last year, which is just like, oh, an indie game that is super indie. And it's very, very up to interpretation of the host. Of course, best music, best art style. Of course, our favorite games, each of our own favorite games. And then we'll also do a show's favorite game. So hopefully we can come to an agreement on what that is.
You think one of those is going to be it? Cocoon or Sea of Stars?
I am so on the fence of what I should make my own game of the year, because I don't want to double up. If I don't have to, I don't really want to double up on our game of the year. But I guess if that's the way the cards fall, then that's how it is.
It's one of those things where if our collective show game of the year isn't like at least one of our games of the year, like one of our personal game of the years, it's kind of like, what's going on there? I mean, I guess there is something to be said for, like, you know, you mediate the dispute by giving everyone's second choice the number one spot for the show collectively, but we're not that mathematical or literal about it. We'll talk through the emotions and the heart of the thing, and we'll land on what our favorite one is. There's a lot of good games this year. So.
That's the hard part, is there are so many games that are worthy of Game of the Year, in my opinion, of what I've played at least. It's a heck of a good year.
Yeah, which that's awesome. And then there's going to be a lot of talk probably of games that either one of us didn't play, and then even games you guys probably haven't played from the year that we haven't really mentioned on the show. It's pretty much just like any game we played, even if it's not on the quest log, you know, so you'll probably hear a lot of titles that we haven't even discussed yet on the show, which is always cool. You guys ready for Christmas? I know I'm just jumping to topics here, but you guys all prepped. I finished up my Christmas shopping, getting planned to go see my family and all that fun stuff.
I got all my shopping done, I think. It's one of those things where I have all the gifts, but then you can always think of some other stuff and tuck in an extra gift here or there. Mm-hmm. But I'm mostly good. You know, we got the plans all lined up, the work schedule's all laid out. So I think we're looking pretty dang good. I'm excited. I'm not taking any time off this year over the holidays at all. So it'll probably honestly feel pretty similar to like a normal working week for me. But Christmas Day or Christmas Eve will be a good time.
Yeah, I decided to do the thing I never do and take like 10 days off. So it's going to be nice. Yeah, so
do it.
Just going to chill and probably play a bunch of video games. So it's going to be good.
Honestly, for my job, I am taking the day after Christmas off because I have to go pick my brother-in-law up from the airport on Christmas night from Detroit, which is about an hour from me. So I don't want to be sleepy drachma for work the next day. But honestly, at least for what I do, taking vacation is almost kind of silly because no one's in the office anyway.
That's true for me too. I actually am taking time off in early January, which is the life hack. Work during this section, no one's around, and then you take the busy time off when everyone's coming back and they're all energized. You miss that first wave of energy.
Right, exactly. But regarding Christmas, I think we are mostly done. I have to whisper just in case someone is listening through the door. But I got my boys a PlayStation 5 for Christmas, so I'm sure they will be stoked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Air quotes there. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
For the boys.
I got my boys.
Yep. For sure.
Yeah.
And how many games does Dad already have in the drawer waiting to play for himself?
I have Death's Door physical copy staring at me, but that won't be opened anyway. That's just a desk piece. But
It's like, I got my boys a PS5 and a copy of Demon's Souls. I hope they like it.
Honestly, they do. They both love Souls games.
That's cool.
My son especially. So he really wants to play Demon's Souls, but he's really jazzed to play Hogwarts Legacy. And yes, I could have probably gotten it on PS4, but I heard it is very, very, I mean, it's playable, but not great. Kind of like Cyberpunk thing.
Right.
So
if I recall, there's some good deals. This is the first holiday season where I feel like the consoles are actually getting like a good discount for the holidays.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's nice.
Yep. Yep. So excited, pumped.
Heck awesome. Yeah.
Well, Speaking of video games, we do a thing here on IndieQuest where we bring games to an ever-growing list called the Quest Log. There are two sections to the Quest Log. Might as well tell them what it is. The main quest is a game that you can recommend to anybody. It's a must-play, fantastic title. And then the side quest is still a great game. It's still a recommendation. We do not bring any games we dislike here. It's all about positivity. So the side quest is a game. Maybe there's a couple caveats, or maybe it only is for people with specific interests, or maybe it's just not quite as good as a main quest game. So I think the captain wanted to go first on this episode. So
yeah,
what games are you playing today?
Nice little appetizer for us before Josh kicks it off. I don't know if we've mentioned yet, Steve, feeling as under the weather as he is, will not be mentioning a game, but we'll be having a happy banter between.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I actually have two that I really wanted to bring, but you just hear me coughing through them the whole time. And after two sentences, I feel the tickle start to rise. So
yeah,
I'll just save them for goatee time.
Perfect. All right. So I played a game that I actually talked about, I think jokingly, maybe last episode or the episode before that. Honestly, I didn't know that I would actually be bringing this game, but I am going to be talking about Skater Gator 3D today.
Nice. I played the demo for this one. Yeah.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. I figured this is a game that no one would have ever heard about, honestly. I was just like, you know, it was released this year, developed and published by Weathered Sweater, and it's only on PC as of right now. It is cool that you played the demo, Josh, because I wonder how the demo was, because there's two very distinct gameplay styles in this game that I'll get to after a little bit. But overview, which I guess we'll touch on briefly, but it's a lane-based platformer that mixes with top-down 3D platforming. So, lane-based platformer, think Temple Run or something like that, where you are just going, or another sort of endless runner where you are going straight and you can press left and right to jump to different lanes, basically. In this game, you're playing as an alligator. There's several different ones. There's different skin swaps that you can get. The original one, his name is Greenjamin, like Benjamin, but green. But
all right.
I like
you
it.
You play as these colorful alligators, and you go down. When you're doing the lane-based part, you're actually going down what is supposed to be like grinding ramp things, like you would grind on in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, things like that. But that does lead us into what does this game actually look like. It is what I would say is kind of a cel-shaded style, very bright, colorful. There's a lot of fun, like cartoon cutscenes in between gameplay sections where it's really almost like a storybook, because there's no real animation. It's just the characters kind of move around like someone's holding them with a puppet or something. Like there's a there's a popsicle stick stuck to their back, and they're just like moving back and forth, and they kind of talk to each other that way. But yeah, story, not much of a story.
You could have surprised me by saying that it's got a gripping narrative. It doesn't have big story energy, and no, not in a bad way.
No, it does not. So you are sleeping in your house. You get a brand new skateboard, and you're happy about it. And then you go to sleep in your house, and you find out that this brand new skateboard is actually a evil robot skateboard. And
I hate it when that happens.
Well, that old trope, that retired narrative.
Exactly, I know. But you know, you think, oh man, it's an evil robot alligator shaped skateboard. What could it possibly do to Greenjamin? And there's so many options. But what it actually does is steals the deed to your swamp. Could have done so many. Like,
wow,
it's just like, here, this is my swamp now. Didn't kick Greenjamin out. Just takes the deed. And now Greenjamin has to go after this robot alligator through 13 gripping levels to get to the finish and actually reclaim the deed.
So Skater Gator 3D is exploring, you know, the themes of anxiety that we all feel about
home ownership.
Know, rising home ownership costs and property values when wages don't rise at the same rate.
Yep. It's really a metaphor, and a deep analogy, if you will.
It's a modern takedown of how the political system has failed us. I respect that, Skater Gator. Let's go.
Ah, music of Skater Gator. It's kind of upbeat, funky, electronic, kind of jazzy, but always fun. Hints of Celeste at times, where it's like, whoa, where did this come from? It just sounds like it's the Celeste-y style, kind of melodramatic, chiptune-y. So it's like, okay, that's cool. But for the most part, music is there to get you through the game. I probably wouldn't listen to it outside if I probably would, but there's maybe like four songs on the whole soundtrack, right? But upbeat gets you through the gameplay sections for sure. And speaking of gameplay, that is basically what this is entirely. It's all about the gameplay with a game like this. Already talked about how the lane based is and how it kind of works, but there are obstacles on those grind rails. There are also collectibles that you can collect in those sections, and then also in the 3D platformer sections. There's trash. So I guess if we want to talk about a metaphor for like the real life stuff, there is trash littering around, and rather than collecting stars or coins or something, you're collecting the trash, and that is cleaning up the swamp.
Right? A little climate activism in there too. I'm respecting this game.
Yes, yes. But then you also collect letters, that five letters in each level that spell out Gator. Can you guys tell me somewhere where you might have seen something like that before?
Tony Hawk.
Oh, Tony Hawk has that? Really? Oh.
Yeah, collect the letters for skate. I mean, you collect five Jinjos and Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Skater, skate, Tony Hawk, yeah.
You guys are like giving way better examples. I was thinking Donkey Kong. So
I mean, that's a really good one.
I mean, it is a platformer. So
it's all in the same. They're all copying from each other.
Exactly.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Is Tony Hawk... Do you collect skate in Tony Hawk because it's copying platformer games? Is Tony Hawk just a skateboarding platformer?
I mean,
pretty much.
It kind of is.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Travis, you can't figure out how to turn around, but you know.
Like, is the dominant genre on Tony Hawk sports or platformer?
Oh, I would definitely say. You would have to, this is a deeper argument where you'd have to talk to skateboarders about whether skateboarding is really a sport or not. I mean, it is.
It is.
But it's also like a recreational activity in a way, you know. But it's also, but I mean, it isn't a competitive sport, I guess. So
it's like, why not both, right? Both, why not both? That gif. Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Only through the lens of Skater Gator 3D can I start to understand Tony Hawk better than I ever have in the past. Thank you.
You're welcome, Steve. You're welcome. But that does lead us to the other part of the game. So it's a lot of the lane-based stuff, but it's kind of a 50-50 mix between that and actual top-down 3D platforming. So rather than your typical over-the-shoulder 3D or over-the-head 3D platformer where the camera flings around behind your character, you actually look from above Greenjamin or any of the other alligators you can play as and move around that way. Left stick moves your character, right stick moves the camera. It's kind of what you think or how you think it would be. You collect stuff. There's several different abilities you can get. You can jump. You can double jump with a certain power-up you can get. You can dash, and then with another power-up you get, you can actually use your dash to attack enemies. A lot of times enemies actually are holding either trash or maybe one of the letters you have to collect. So you have to actually attack the enemies to get those, which all rolls up to what the main purpose of the game is. Of course, to beat the levels and then progress, but also there are so many different collectibles that you have to try to get all that stuff if you want to get 100%, like all collectathons are. The cool thing about Skater Gator, though, is it's almost built for speed, especially with like the lane stuff. So on top of the actually collecting all the items, each level has a time limit. I mean, I didn't hit any of them because I was moving around collecting stuff most of the time, but then you could go back through and try to get under that threshold, right? And that's another portion of what this game is. So I would say a decent amount of replay value, honestly.
Right. Is there like shortcuts too? So you could like, oh, if you just jump just perfectly, you know, there's like a lily pad way over here or something like that to make the levels go faster, or
probably it seems pretty. So, yeah, I guess there are like, I would say there's more offshoots where, okay, I could go over here and collect a couple extra things, but then on the next run, I don't have to go over there again. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I can just beeline it to the finish. Just skip everything because I've already got all the collectibles. I just need to go and get the optimal time.
Just waiting for that skater. I'm just asking you, waiting for that Skater Gator 80% run, you know, like,
yeah,
get it done in 5 minutes and 32 seconds or whatever. Yeah.
I should mention, you say Skater Gator. Oh, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, it does seem built for speed. Just in the movement itself, like it's very much got almost that, you know, like Mario Odyssey kind of like fast run into a jump, into a glide, dive out of the glide, into a roll, into a run.
Yes.
Like the moves seem to string together and they all seem very focused on maintaining momentum, moving forward, and like kind of creative navigation.
Yeah, there's of course a dash jump, right? So your dash jump allows you to get going a little bit faster in air. And then if you can, you know, you got to just time out your double jump grabs just right and you can keep going. Like I died several times. If you fall off of the course, you're going to lose a heart. Green Gibbon starts with 3 hearts. If you get hit by anything, you lose a heart. If you fall off the course, you lose a heart. And if you lose all 3 of your hearts, you go back to the previous checkpoint. There are checkpoints as you go through the levels. But I mean, it's pretty tough, especially the later stages. It's pretty tough and almost begs to be beaten by like constant practice, right? It's that kind of a game. If you want to get those optimal times, you just got to keep going through and practicing.
Mm-hmm. I think you were going to bring up that there's a prequel game, right? Skater Gator, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You were mentioning, oh, Skater Gator, 80%. Well, there is technically, this is Skater Gator 3D, but there is a prequel called Skater Gator. I have not played that. That is a 2D purely lane-based
almost like a mobile game. That one looks almost like a mobile game, from what I remember looking at the graphics on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks interesting. Honestly, mm-hmm. I don't know that. I mean, I didn't play it, right? And I understood the story of Skater Gator 3D from not playing Skater Gator. So it's okay if you guys hop right in at the 3D one, I think.
It's that, nice. It's that rich storytelling in the environments and things. Yeah.
There are some quote unquote boss fights. All the boss fights are with, well, I won't spoil that part, I guess, but all the boss fights are on rails, I will say. And for the most part, you're just dodging attacks by jumping while you're on the rails or going to a different rail to dodge attacks. But they're pretty basic. Eventually, you get an opportunity to attack towards the end, and then you can actually defeat the boss, but that is at the very end, so. Do you guys have any questions about Skater Gator 3D before I throw it on the quest log?
What sections did you find yourself most enjoying? The on-rails parts or the open 3D collectathon parts?
I would say the open parts. I enjoyed it. It was a nice variation between the two of them. But the on-rails part, I think people who enjoy that type of game would probably love it. To me, it was just a little bit frustrating at certain times because it's really pretty twitchy and like I said, begs to be practiced because it's almost sometimes it feels like I cannot react in time to actually jump to that other lane unless I knew it ahead of time. You know, that type of thing. Die and retry. That gives you those vibes sometimes. Not a challenging game. Anyone who ever plays this game could beat it. it just takes a little bit of time and a little bit of learning. And it's not like insane, frustrating, like Mega Man or something, like the original Mega Man games or anything. So, but yeah, I'd say the open platforming parts are what I enjoyed the most.
Cool. I mean, that seems like where the meat is, but I don't know. I like that kind of Temple Run style sometimes, that just sort of like, it's almost like a rhythm game or like a shoot 'em up where you're just sort of like reflexively just pop, 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 hopping back and forth between stuff. So,
and of course, like if you want, yeah, go ahead.
Honestly, it seems great. Seems, you know, very much my kind of thing. So I'm super down for it.
Yeah. I played the demo and I was like, this is actually plays really well. And then I saw it was going to be $5. So I was like, you know what? Why don't I just wait and then get it on sale sometime or for $5 sometime and then play it then, you know, type of vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I actually bought it for like a 33% off sale, like $350. And perfect game for that price, honestly. This will actually be bringing me into my verdict right now. It will be a side quest game. It's that short, sweet collectathon, just fun for a romp if you have a free afternoon, right? I completed this game in an hour and 20 minutes. I did not do all the collectibles. I collected what, you know, it was kind of like that first blind run, right? I collected everything I saw, but on the actual lane sections, there are also collectibles on there. So if you miss them on the first go, then the only way to get them again after you finish is just to restart the stage. And I didn't do that. I continued on and kind of played it organically that way. But would not be difficult to get all collectibles. Would not be difficult, I don't think, probably to get under each of those thresholds. As the stages go on, it does get a little bit more challenging. But I would say it's pretty doable to probably 100% this game. There are a lot of achievements. I think there's like 24 achievements. But yeah. That's my awesome. Last beat of 2023 indies and got me to a total of 20 games for this
year. Nice. Congrats. Very fun.
Legendary, man. That's a lot. 20 games in general in a year is a lot.
Yeah.
20 indies specifically, even more impressive.
Yeah. So that's Skater Gator 3D, a nice little side quest game everyone should check out.
Awesome. Well, I have a fun game here. This is a weird one. So I'm not even going to tell you. Well, I'll tell you the name of the game, so you guys can be looking at it.
I appreciate that.
I was going to be like, oh, I'm going to try to be cryptic. I'm like, why? It's already a pretty obscure title. Yeah, it's a pretty obscure title. Anyway, it's called Super 56. Have you guys heard of this?
No. I mean,
let me set the stage for you here. All right. About the game. Eons ago, Super 56 was banned by the government of Pain, and all copies were buried in the Sinsara Desert. Cartridges have been spotted in independent gaming stores throughout Hell. Roommates Kronos and Brones secured their own copy of the game and challenged their neighbor, named John Zombie, by the way, to a high-scoring bet. But it turns out they're pretty bad at video games. It's up to you to achieve an S rank and shut the pesky neighbor up once and for all. So, Super 56 is
a Doom clone, is what it looks like to me.
It's a little bit of everything.
It's like 30 games. Every screenshot on this Steam page looks like a different game.
Mm-hmm. So, Super 56 is a WarioWare minigame collection, basically. And so there's 56 genre-bending like minigames in here. And the main premise of it is, like I said, it's the Pentacube is the name of the console, and you put the game controller in there, and the game controller has one button because a lot of the demons in Hell do not have opposable thumbs, so they have to be able to control the game. So every game is played with the A button, and the menus are interacted with the A button. So everything is one button in this game. So I thought that was a unique premise. Pretty cool. So pretty much it's, like I said, it's a WarioWare minigame collection. You jump in and very fun, cheery, very weird and obscure. The storyline is like straight out of like a 90s sitcom. Like I said, the main guy that you're trying to fight against as you level up. So as you play through and say you have a set amount of hearts to start off. You got like four hearts and you'll just start playing through the mini games, and they'll just start throwing random mini games at you, and there'll be anything from destroy the car, like in Street Fighter, and you just tap the A button super fast and try to do it before the time runs out, or hit, you know, like the little flash game with the bow and arrow dude, you know, you like hold the button and like try to shoot the apples, that game. There's also like, you're a street car racer, you have to get through 8 checkpoints, but the A button only turns you left. So you have to kind of like tap the A button just right to get through all of the 8 checkpoints. And it has just 56 unique, quote unquote, unique ideas. They're all like takes on retro games pretty much. They usually are about anywhere from 30 seconds. And like you said, there's a Doom clone in there, which I thought that was a nice surprise. That one's 90 seconds and you automatically walk through and you just have to shoot the dudes by tapping A. So they just think of so many different things with this very simple concept of, hey, how can I play this game with one button? So any questions so far? This game is really weird and unique.
So you're not ever actually using the joystick? Like, it's always just the button, right?
Just the A button the whole entire time.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty unique.
So the Doom section is on rails then?
Yeah, so just say you're playing through the games. It actually has the 1 through 56 you can play like in order, but you get these things, you get unlocks in this game. So the whole thing, you're trying to get through the story, there is a story, and as you level up, new like story cutscene will play, and there's like these two pixelated demon dudes like Brones and what was it? I always forget their names, but Brones and Kronos, those dudes, and they're trying to beat John Zombie. And John Zombie is like a skater, like a jock type dude, kind of a, you know, smarmy asshole type. And, you know, you're trying to outrank him in the game. So you're working your way to each level to unlock these cutscenes. And they're very silly and goofy and they're fun. They have like a couple of fun songs in there even. And they always talk like, oh, bro, what's going on? Oh, the human's getting further in the game, you know, stuff like that. And as you do that, you also get unlocks for your high score leaderboard. So you can get like little characters, little like picture borders and things like that. And then also you get mod stones. That's the reason I said this in the first place, which the first mod stone you unlock is the randomized mode. So basically, when you start off, it's 1 through 56 and you try to get from the beginning to the end. Same thing like WarioWare, as you get further along, it speeds up. So you're playing the games and it just slowly gets faster and faster and faster and faster and faster. And then by the end, you're like, it's like super fast mode and you're trying to like, you know, get through it as fast as you can. And it gets very difficult, I would say. I almost got through all the levels, all the games in one run, but it's very hard. So I feel like this is one that's going to be just downloaded and I try out here and there because it's kind of one of those. I eventually want to get through every single one. I did beat the storyline. But anyway, I'm just rambling now, I feel like. But no, I just think this game is super charming. And like, I think the most fun you can have is kind of go in without looking too much up, because 9 times out of 10, you're just going to see like a cool mini game that you're not expecting.
Like, I don't want to describe too many games, but I also want to like just describe a couple to give people an idea. We said Doom Clone, which is like, it inspires like a retro game thought in your mind. But there's also like, there's one where there's a cat riding on a Roomba that you're vacuuming the floor. There's one where it looks like there's two CPU players playing tennis against each other. And then when the ball hits the net, you race a dog to get to the ball first.
Yes. Yeah. So, like, it's basically like get the ball and get the most balls. And you have to like tap A as fast as you can to like run out there before the dog can. Yeah.
It's just absolutely wild. And yeah, a lot of them do seem to reference, you know, Flappy Bird, Sonic 2 bonus stages, or Sonic 3 bonus stages.
Yeah, I think there's pretty much any retro game, there's going to be a little reference in there. I don't want to spoil everything, but there is a Pokemon one even, you know, like it has a little bit of everything. And I think that, honestly, I just feel like they just had a bunch of game jams. Like, oh, what can we do? Like, that can just use one button, and they just kind of like put it into a package. And honestly, the game can be, some of the mini games can be a little frustrating because you're like, okay, what am I supposed to do here? There's in-game hints that you can unlock too with money, the currency that you earn from leveling up. So say you get stuck on a game. You're like, what do I even do here? I know I'm supposed to tap A, but when and how do I tap A? You can actually go into the hint book, look up that specific one. So say it's like 17 or something. You can look it up and it'll actually have like an old school, like 90s, like manual with all the little hints on how to actually play that mini game, which is pretty cool. So I feel like this game just has so much little details to it that I was not expecting. And I just honestly had a ball playing. Just the randomness of it is just really, it's a good time.
I think it's wild that you cannot actually, it would be impossible to explain this game graphically. The graphics?
Yeah.
That, I think that's the thing that has to be driven home. And I think Josh is right. Don't go and look up a bunch of stuff. But every mini game, it isn't the same style ever. No. It's always ever. It could look like an N64 game. It could look like a Flash game. It could look like an 8-bit game. It could look like an Atari game. Mm-hmm. It's like there's literally 56 different games. That's crazy.
Yeah. It is. It's 56 little like mini games for real, and it really does have the same energy. And let's just say there's a couple of dude bros from the 90s who made a Warrior game. That's kind of what I'm getting from this, like 90s, like millennial nostalgia plus WarioWare. And yeah, it's pretty damn awesome. So the game itself, like, I think for the most part can be a little irritating on some of the mini games. I'll just be honest, because there's 56 of them. They're not all going to be like gold, like polished, you know, diamonds or whatever.
When you say irritating, how so? Because that was going to be my next question. Is the brilliance of WarioWare is that you understand how to play the game within half a second and then execute it within a half a second more. Are some of them just like difficult to parse what you're supposed to do, or where does that frustration come from?
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be my thing. It's like, I'm trying to think of a specific example. Sometimes it'll just throw you into something. Oh, okay. Here's one. Here's a good one. It's kind of like a top-down RPG, right? That's kind of the premise of it. And it's like, run away. And you're like, okay, how do I run away? So you're trying to button mash through the dialogue tree. And then I'm like, where's the runaway option? I couldn't figure that one out. And that one took me a few tries, you know? So occasionally there will be one where they throw it at you and you won't instantly understand. But there are, I would say, like maybe like 50 out of 56. Because I have played every single mini game in here that you can just literally just jump in and you'll be fine. But there is an occasional like sore spot where you're like, this mini game is probably not as good as the other ones are. Which, that's going to happen in something like this.
Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I just think this is a silly little game. And I mean, it takes, so if you do the storyline and you play it at a general decent pace, you can get through the story in about 4 hours or so, give or take, depending on how good you get at the mini games. I think you could probably level up a little faster if you got really proficient at them. And the story is silly. It doesn't really go anywhere, just to be honest with you. It's just a campy little sitcom type storyline, I would say. But that's not really why you're here. It's just a really fun and goofy premise. And after that, the main thing you're chasing is trying to get through the entire run without, you know, screwing up. You can actually gain more of those gems like I talked about. One is you get more health, so more fail tries. So if you fail, you lose a heart. So it's like, you can get up to like 6 or so. And so you have 6 tries to fail. So you all 56 levels with 6 times lives is not too hard. It just gets really fast on you. That's where the challenge comes in. So, but there's that. And then if you're a high score chaser, trying to get like the high score and like being super proficient and trying to like rank up, you know, so there's that element to it too. There are some music. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and there's a naked guy on the title card doing like a backstretch.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what that's about, but yeah.
Yeah, it's just weird.
I mean, honestly, WarioWare is weird too. There seems to be something about this like micro game genre brings out the absurdist in developers.
Yeah.
The no idea thrown out type of development style.
Yeah, you also like unlock like little things for your character to say. So it's like blank in the pudding. So and then you do, then you can select like the word, so you can be like farting in the pudding, you know, and that'll say that like when you start the mini games and stuff like that. Just very corny stuff, and just and that's so the currency you can buy more of those. So the one I had the most is like this game sucks. That's what it says right when you start up. So I was like, yeah, it's just fun.
Nice.
And then you get little character portraits, and one of them is that naked dude upside down there as your character portrait. And there's little sound effects that you'll make if you fail too. So it can be like, most of them are actually like Japanese sounding, like if you die or something, you know, stuff like that. It's really funny. It's very funny. Like I was laughing a lot. Very good sense of humor, very, very, I guess, me sense of humor. This like really resonated with me, that that 90s too, just corny ass humor. I love that stuff. So really resonated with me. I did want to bring up the music. There's some music. There's kind of like an underlying theme, and it's like, da, 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 da. Yeah, you'll know the theme once you play it. And then they basically remix it for almost every single stage will be that same exact theme, but in that style of game. So if you're in the Doom one, it's like a metal version of it. Damn, 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 you know, like every single one of them. So that's pretty cool that they do that.
Yeah.
And there's some of the games, I won't spoil any of the games here, but there's some that take that theme and change it completely a bit too. So definitely really cool use of music. It's not like a soundtrack I would jam out to, but it definitely suits the game very well. So I at first I was going to put this on the main quest, unless you guys have any other questions for me on this one.
I don't.
No, it's on my wish list already. It seems awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome. I was like, Steve would really enjoy this. I think this would be a really fun stream for you one day.
Honestly. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So at first I was going to put it on the main quest because I was just having a good time with it. And then I'm like, okay, Josh, just chill. Just chill. It's not a main quest game. This is a side quest game for sure. But I think this is one of those side quest games that I would just recommend most people play. I don't think it's going to be everybody's bag. But if you really love WarioWare and you love that, just like that weird absurdist humor like I was talking about, you're going to have so much fun playing this game. And it's super cheap. I think it's like $7, something like that. So definitely give it a shot if you're even that interested in it. Even if you're not a big minigame collector fan, if you're a retro game fan, you're going to have some fun just seeing all the references too.
Yeah. Yeah.
For nice. Sure.
Yeah.
Seems very cool. I can't stop watching footage of it. It's very like, it's very distracting.
Yeah. It's very like, it's very much that like just in your face and right when you get to the title screen and they have like an opening cutscene. That's like in a CRT filter, and then like you're seeing you go like a subway station, go to hell, and then you go into some dude's bachelor pad with his friend, and then you put the cartridge into the Pentacube, and it just looks like, yeah, it's so fun. So it has very Ren and Stimpy energy at times too, which is awesome. So you know it's just a really fun little package. I cannot say it's a main quest game though. Like this is not on the same level as like Celeste, you know, but it's a damn good time. You're gonna have a good time with it. You're gonna have a smile on your face the entire time playing it.
It's like Celeste but 56 times more super.
Mm-hmm. Oh well, I didn't know how long that would take to describe because this game is like one of those ones where it's just so unique that I had no idea how long it would take me to describe it. So there we go. Super 56, the side quest game. And then we have what is Skater Gator 3D side quest game. I always forget the other games. I have a memory of an ant. So anyway. Well, it's Christmas season, and I think we're wrapping up the episode already. Unless you have anything else to talk about today. I know this will be a little shorty, but next episode's going to be like jam packed, I think. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, so I guess it's time to plug. Why not? You can find the show at IndieQuest Pod on X, Twitter, X. You can find us. I can't talk. You can send us emails at IndieQuestPod@gmail.com if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything of that. What is your favorite indie game of the year? If you send us an email, talk about it a little bit. We'll read it on the show. We'll talk about it and have a little discussion. Or if there's a 2023 game that you just never hear anybody talk about, it's so under the radar, like Super 56 or something, or Skater Gator 3D, something like that, like that you got to bring to our attention, recommend us some games, send them to the email, send them to the Twitter, and we'll talk about it and likely either put them on our wish list and play them later or try them right away if they sound awesome. So, Steve, where can they find you on the internet?
Twitch and Twitter is Blinkum. It's Blink, OOM, M like Microsoft. And depending on when this one goes out, if it's before Thursday the 21st, on Thursday the 21st, I will be streaming my game of the year decision-making process. Indie inclusive, but not indie exclusive. So if you're into more than just indie stuff, come hang out while I figure out what I think the best games of 2023 are. And what about you, as I lose my voice? Drachma, where can they find you?
Can find me at Captain Drachma on Twitter or X, and of course in the Polymedia Discord, best place on the internet. And if you want to get into that Discord, go to Patreon and search Polymedia, and we'll be in there. Josh, where can they find you?
You can find me at Frantic Society or in the lovely Discord as well. I'm also on a recent episode of Cartridge Club for Spider-Man 2. Which is definitely the complete opposite of indie. But if you want to hear me be probably the most positive voice talking about that game on that podcast, go listen to that. So that should be up by the time you hear this. We're also part of the Polymedia Network. What's a show that people should check out? Steve, you can keep it short too, so your voice doesn't fall away.
Yeah. You know what? Some people aren't brave enough to plug their own show. But I'll say it. You should listen to Polykill. It's a good show. If you want more of me, usually more of my actual voice, talking about all manner of games, go check it out. It's a hoot and a half.
Captain, what's a show people should check out from the network?
I'm just going to show Steve how brave I am, and I'll plug my own show. You guys should check out IndieQuest.
Yes.
Check it out. Go to the backlog of IndieQuest when I wasn't even there. No, but seriously, I saw in my Patreon feed, speaking of Patreon, that there will be some new Tales of the Lesser Medium coming out soon. I don't think it actually came out yet, but it was available for us Patreon subscribers. So check out your feeds. New Tales of Lesser Medium soon, where they talk about video game stories and make it very humorous with our pals Trav and Caleb. Josh, what's a show that you enjoy on our network?
I like We Got Goosebumps. Been really enjoying that one. The recent one they did was Why I'm Afraid of Bees, which I really enjoyed as a kid. So that was a really nice listen. So check that one out. Basically they read Goosebumps, talk about it. They go very in depth too. It's very, very informative and entertaining show. So check that one out if you're a 90s kid like me. Well, that's going to do it for the show here. I'm just going to shoot it to Steve so he can talk for a really long time and lose his voice. No. How about you, Seth? Well, what's some good parting words for the folks out there?
Like Josh said, send us an email of stuff that you guys have for 2023 games that we missed. We got 2 weeks left, and I would love to hear from everyone that one last little time. If I got to get up to 21 indie beats this year, I will absolutely do it if you recommend an awesome indie game. So tune in next time to listen to our favorites, and we'll catch you guys then.